But yes, I can do it. Our other fellow that we have left. The primary and the cross-examination. I will call her this afternoon.
Okay, we can start here pretty soon. I know what your professor, Secretary of the H, has a meeting also. We'll try to turn in there too. Okay, we're going to get started. Welcome everybody, this is the first meeting of the work group. Louisiana legislature requested LDH to establish as part of the 360. In this work group, we're going to be discussing the most appropriate administrative management for Medicaid behavioral services in the state. Set out an agenda yesterday that we can go through a lot of discussions, talk about high-level meeting topics I'll go through, sorry, discussions I'll go through, as you said, kind of high-level talking topics, and then meeting frequency. So, start off, I know we've got a lot of people on this call, so I'm going to kind of just do a roll call based on who I know you sent the invites out to, and with the Louisiana behavioral providers, I know there's a bunch of you as well, so I'll just kind of go down the list and a couple things just to see if there's policies on. So first, who we have from the LDH Secretary's office? Myself, Jack Carney, the program manager for PIC, which is an integration-related grant, and as part of those, I've been asked to facilitate calls and prepare the report for the FSPC. Who else from the H is on right now?
Hey, Jack, it's Tom McDonald, WH, which is Secretary of Health Plan Management, WH.
Hey, Jack, it's Karen, Secretary of OVH.
Hey, Jack, it's Ashley, Chief Staff of OVH.
Thanks so much, I do have the members office. Let me send an invite to Nick Alvarez, so I'll see him on this call. Who do we have from the Louisiana Steel Association?
It's Jack Clear.
Hey, Kathy. Who do we have from the Louisiana Medical Society?
Dr. Anton.
Who do we have from the Louisiana Hospital Association? I'm going to go through the list I have from the Louisiana Medical Provider. Apologies in advance if I missed anybody's name. John Deporte.
Here.
Mike McNeil.
Here.
Rob Salas. Colette Mossaw.
Here.
Chris Budd.
Here.
Donnie Oliver.
Here.
Foley Nash.
Here.
Ben Thomas. Matthew Delk.
Do what we got. And ladies.
Thank you. Eddie Painter. Timberly Richards. Richard. Lisa Rombach. And Ernest Ohio. I'm looking in the Zoom meeting, there's some sort of issues where people are in the meeting but they can't speak. If anybody is in that situation, they can click on the raise hand option. But that should do it. So kind of go ahead and talk about...
This is Mark Leiker from Medicaid.
I'm sorry, is there anybody who has announced themselves that they call?
Hi, this is Jeff from the National.
Hey, Jeff. Right, so, I don't see anybody who's raised their hand, so maybe they're talking, just click the raise hand option. But, so just starting off, go over SR260 kind of a high level, and then we can get into sort of discussing meeting topics for this, this work going forward, and after that we can talk about meeting frequency, times, and that sort of thing. So basically, SR260 is a request made by the legislature to Louisiana Department of Health to really kind of look at and make recommendations relative to behavioral health, Medicaid, managed care, carve out the future that is sort of the most appropriate administrative management for Medicaid behavioral health services in the state. We had to convene this work report before September 1st, which we're doing right now, and we have to report back on our findings before March 1st, 2020. We have to put a timeline, I think we're probably making an entire draft report, certainly among this group, probably sometime in January, and we'll see how things go, and we can talk more detail about that sort of thing, as we get to the meeting frequency part of the agenda. But as of right now, I can turn it over to our Secretary here for more discussions on meeting topics.
Great, thank you, Jack. I appreciate it.
And
thank you for
joining us
on the phone.
Yes, I can hear you. If you cannot hear Karen, if you have any trouble speaking, you can raise the hand option in Zoom, and we can discuss that. If you're any other issues, you can back out and come back in some other phone. We can do that in the future. At least we're through a few issues. But yes, I can hear you.
Thank you, Jack. For the for everybody else, Jack, is becoming more than Zoom expert, so if you have any questions, you can ask them.
Hold on, hold on. I'm going to be back in Zoom.
Thank you for attending. I'm traveling today. I'm working today. I'm sitting in my car in the parking lot. So thank you for bearing with me and over the next hour and a half or so. One of the things I kind of want to lay out is the structure of the meeting and kind of our thought around it. I personally am not a fan of unstructured meetings and kind of open-ended items, especially when we have a large group. However, I see there being a benefit in kind of the unstructured of conversations for the very first meeting. And the meeting, whether we did it on the phone or not, we really wanted to be kind of an organizational meeting to give all of the people appointed to this work group an opportunity to lay out kind of decisions for the meeting and how we should conduct them over the next few months. And so one of the things we're going to do, and one of the things we're going to do, is in their head, playing out what I might say, is give everyone a little bit of time to fill out time to talk about their needs and their vision and the topics that they might cover through this work group, and then we'll go back internally and kind of categorize what we hear today and create a new structure and organize organization over the next few months based on some of the things that we hear today. And so, lastly, I've got people who don't like kind of open dialogue, so we're going to really
step off. If you can start, I'm going to put back up, please put your phone on mute until you're so everybody can hear me.
And so, if you can step off, you're ready, and we're going to allow you to open dialogue today on future vision and areas of discussion. And so, around behavioral health, they published or organized this amazing research around behavioral health and behavioral treatment issues. And so, when we saw this resolution come through, I took it very seriously and wanted to approach it very thoughtfully and inclusively. And we had enlisted Jeff Assistant to help public areas that you might kind of stumble upon or need some national expertise about it. But he's on the phone, I'm going to let him say just a couple words if you'd like. And just really kind of hanging out and listening today, and then we will pull on him in the future to maybe provide research or presentations or connect us with resources as we see the need. And so at this point, Jeff, I'm not sure if you'd like to give a more personal introduction and talk about kind of your experience in history, or if you'd rather just kind of silently work on the call today. I'll kind of help you with any of the call.
Sure, yeah, not a big fan of silent working, so I'll just briefly say that I'm very interested in this because I think there's a lot of potential to make improvements in Louisiana, working in Louisiana very capacity since 2013, so back to the Jones days. And the only thing else I would add is when we reach kind of state our cases to what we see as opportunity areas that to the best of our ability to define our terms, but I think with terms like carve in and integrated health and carve out, and there's a lot of potential for people to define things differently, so that's all I would say. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Jeff. So on that note, as we kind of go through the roster today, I want to apologize for interrupting and asking when you say this word, what do you mean? We are heavy behavioral health providers, but we also have some representatives that kind of our traditional or standard kind of stakeholders in a lot of our areas of behavioral issues, like the LHA and medical society, for example, that they represent. So we apologize if you for coming up and ask for clarity, but I do want to all be on the same page when you turn like integration, carving part out, NCA, maybe you talk about third services, so just kind of setting up the tone and the standard there and expectations up front. So with that, I would like to go forward to the structure of ideas about and kind of call, you know, maybe a couple of questions for the future, but call on the representatives and ask them to again state their definition for integration, their vision for this work group, and maybe some areas that you'd like to see addressed. And I'm going to say, John, you and I go way back, and I'm very comfortable with you. And something like that, some people, we've got a lot of people on the phone, so we've got a lot of time together. So high level, I know you are very familiar with issues that are in the weeds. We've got a lot of providers on the phone that can really go into the weeds for personal experiences. I would ask that we save the in the weeds or subsequent talk calls that are topic specific and try to keep this one as overarching and high level as possible, knowing that sometimes it's easier to play yourself as an example. But here, we're just kind of really doing our research and set this groundwork. And so, Kathy, I hope you don't mind, and we'll call you reverse your first on my list. If you would say your name and who you represent, and then a little bit about the group, the definition of integration, and your vision for this, the work group, any topics you'd like to specifically discuss.
Conversation about that. I'd love to talk to you about that offline to be a little bit more specific about what that can mean for Louisiana and history here.
Okay.
John, that actually might be a good meeting, like a meeting topic, because there's a topic, and we're older, there's like a couple of people who are interested in learning, we're not great business right here, don't have the department department the background that we do, so that's definitely a good suggestion.
I agree. Very nice.
Okay, John, anything else? That was an excellent summary.
I think anything more than I'm going to need, so I'm going to stop there.
Right, well, thank you so much. I appreciate talking about the interface of the clinical care and disease management, the vertical integrated clinical care and research, and really the further definition and landscape on carbon carve out and what that means. All right, let me see. Next on my list, that response is Mike Neal. Are you still on?
Yes, I'm here.
My
vision is I want to have a better understanding of how behavioral health can support the efforts in primary health.
Right. All right, take a note. Do you want to add anything to that or add another kind of separate area to the stress?
No, I'm good with that right now.
Great. Thank you.
And I think your phone is on mute. I see those waiting lines. So please mute your phone.
Thank you. Sorry. Exactly. So, Colette, how do you next on my list? Are you still on?
I'm still on.
Right. Would you like to share with us the name and name of your provider or your organization, but what you do, your provider, your definition, your vision, your work with areas to address?
Absolutely. So I'm with Therapy Partners in Covington, Louisiana. We have a huge focus with infant mental health. We do all age groups, so we have a huge population focused on infant mental health. We have a partnership with Tulane Department of Psychiatry to provide psychiatric care as well as for some of our evidence-based screenings. I think our biggest issue with integration is how we work more closely with pediatricians in the transition of care once we can stabilize all medications. And we're looking at how we can do more consulting type work rather than actually treat them once they're stabilized. So that's kind of where we are with integration. Obviously, we're at all levels, but infant mental health seems to be where we are having the biggest issues.
Excellent. I love that perspective of early childhood mental health. Does anybody have anything else to add or Jeffrey, anybody have any questions for her?
When you say stabilized medications, are you talking about infants that are born to mothers who are addicted?
We do have that. We do have a lot of trauma. We have a lot of trauma cases that once we work through dealing with a lot of trauma issues, and it's been this for a while, but then there's a backlog because we have a hard time if they're on certain medications, especially that young, having pediatricians who feel really comfortable managing that, which I understand. And so it becomes this, we keep them, and then we have this huge backlog, we can't kind of flow patients in and out of service. So it's figuring out a way. Dr. Gleason, Tulane, has done some consulting, has a consulting program that she's not sure they're familiar with, but how we expand that so that the pediatricians have the support they need, but the clients don't have to stay in an agency of our kind, so that we can actually deal with the more complex distress cases, and then those names when we can flow of patient care, so that we can really deal with the complex ones, not doing complete maintenance.
So I think that's great. I mean, some of the issues down here are relevant for other kind of care coordination between behavioral health and primary care providers and transitions of care, as well as specifically with medication and stabilization coordination. All great topics and really the heart of integrated care, so much appreciated. Chris, I thought you were on the bench
with Mud. We actually integrated two facilities this summer and have planned for the last 3 months to complete our integration of all our facilities across the state of Louisiana by September. So we still have time to have a year and a half to start this, and we're hoping to see that our psychiatrists as well as our and our practitioners really get to work. We don't have to really work with outside of that, just primary care doctors or pediatricians. So we still have time to do that. We have time to have full-body integration. Outside that, I focus more on this, with the needs and really focus on the service delivery system at all, evolving it to at another level, as well as focusing on outcomes for future health system, focusing on outcomes. I hope to be too much time on this.
Thanks, Chris. So just to kind of summarize, and correct me or add to it, service delivery system as a whole, and focus on outcomes, which is always kind of priority. Appreciate that. And so those kind of two areas you'd like to see discussed through the lens of this work group and integrated care and quality. Anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, come on.
Really appreciate it, Chris. Donnie, are you still online?
Yeah,
I'm here. Can you just say a little bit about what you do, vision for the work group areas, and economic integration?
I'm Donnie Lee with Magnolia Family Services, Harvey Office Institute, and we serve the Southeast, and I'm purely an administrator, not a clinician, but I've been in this for a while now. I've seen the system for our program, I should say, go through several changes. I feel like, through the changes, we probably all take a few things from each phase, and, say what we like, and maybe what we like, and hopefully the work group can kind of figure out the combination of things that works best for providers and clients, and for, saving everybody needs and wants, and hopefully that'll result in, better outcomes for everybody.
So that's really interesting. I wrote down that maybe one of the strategies we can use for proceeding is on the category of cataloging, like and dislike, or pros and cons, or work well and didn't work well with integrated management, or the carve-out management. That's kind of what you're saying, I want to work in your mouth.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I think we learn things from anything we do, and I definitely think there's a pros and cons along the way with each phase. I think there's a lot of being lost in the weeds that we can get. We can discuss about that for later days, but I'm hoping that we can come together and either fix what is broken, or and that can be different things. You can have different needs, and that's what fixing what is broken to be. So I don't think there's just only one solution with this necessarily. I think there's multiple possibilities that we could work on, and hopefully the report group will figure out the best one, or at least the best one that we want to try first, or try next. Because I think that's kind of what the system is in general. I think we start off in one place, and then every 2 years we try to do something a little different, and I think sometimes we get a few good things when we do that, and sometimes we lose a few good things too. So I think all this, or many of us at least, have been doing this for a while now, and I think we all comment on, hey, I really like how we did this back then, or really like how we do this part of the things now, and maybe we can just try to take those things and put them together and get rid of some of that thing.
Gotcha, I appreciate that. Kind of taking the cataloging and seeing things we like, the things we like, and see if those things we like can be adjusted and fixed, and what's the best structure for that. And all the things we like, and what's the best structure to maintain that, and you're right, there's a constant evolution of the program. So thank you for that. Nope. Anything else,
Mike? No.
All right, Ollie, Mr. Nash, are you still online?
I am, yes.
Right, do you want to talk about who you're representing? I know you've got kind of your own project, and you're with NPO, and then your kind of concept for your integration, and then your vision for the work group area to be addressed.
Sure, I am. At this point, I'm representing not so much a particular NCO as the perspective of someone who's been involved with both the single statewide organization and one of the other NCOs during the challenge period of the LBHP. I was the administrator for the children's system, which had about 2/3 of the enrollees in Medicaid eligible population at that time, about 800,000 children that were eligible. So I have a background in seeing all of that from both sides, and I'm definitely interested in pursuing the integration of physical and behavioral health to Kathy's whole health goal, and would be interested in contributing anything I can contribute with a historical perspective or whatever for the goal of identifying some kind of Medicaid Medicare structure that supports movement evolution for the goal of Louisiana. I feel like there are probably two things we need to recognize here. One is that providers have serious challenges working with multiple NCOs, and the NCOs themselves have had challenges because of the corporate level limitations in providing the helpful level of standardization and uniformity protocols in a lot of different ways. The state has made efforts in supporting facilitated efforts and made considerable progress providing increased standardization and supporting that kind of uniformity protocol across all the NCOs so far. One of the questions that sort of applies to that is, are there natural limits to that kind of progress that can be made because of those corporate constraints on the NCOs? All of that in the background, under the umbrella backdrop, you know, the challenges that we have in our state, our geography, our service access in rural areas, the fact that we have so many medically underserved areas, and I'm going to see that the Robert Johnson Foundation has reframed social
conversation, which is, you can only have a conversation without accepting that. So, anything else you wanted to add?
I can't think of anything else about it. I'm sure it will be a great inspiration for all of us from everybody else's time as well.
Hey,
how is everyone today? This is Matthew on the Insight Guidance Group in Lafayette, Louisiana. We service behavioral community information spying hub. I would love to integrate my facility, but unfortunately, with the weight of BYU student free for plus Magellan, as a business owner, and trying to keep everything that these guys require, which is very different from BYU or NCO and MCO, communication between everybody is very poor. You know, technicians are trying to get needs. I know, but I'll look for some solutions and ways that we can integrate our community with the healthcare system with everything that's going on. And that's why I'm here participating. Thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to all of you.
So I'm wondering, and I'm sorry, Matthew, I don't want to come back, but I don't want to be on the slide, I know that, but I don't know
if you're
well, so. If you've ever gained this in another meeting, but it sounds like you support integration, but you kind of alluded to the complicatedness of working with the MCO to being a barrier to integrate care. Is there anything more that you can provide around that?
Yeah, absolutely. If I get one-winded, but you guys know y'all, there's an example of how I was in the end of the year. I got 6 audits in 1 month from the BYU Sam Jones. Probably which I had to hire people to finish these audits. These were audits that they come to your office and look at all the charts. This was stuff I had to study California, and I almost had to hire an attorney to get clarity on some definitions. But they were looking for my whole business, my whole for months during these audits. So when it came to doing new policies and integrating all the PCPs and getting everyone has our records and we got their records, it's actually impossible. Given the situation with all these BYUs and with learning roles and BYU rosters, and it's every month it was something new and no one wants the same thing. It's all different. And it's not communicated to us. We find out late. It's a nightmare. The system down here is a joke to me. I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but it's no wonder we're using this method in a lot of things. It's completely frustrating, and the sad part is that we miss our audience, our clients, and that kills me.
So I don't want to get into this, so don't worry about that. What I'm hearing you say is that basically the intensity of the administrative work of multiple videos, like your audit, does not allow you to refocus on a more integrated kind of model. Is that actually happening?
You are, and you know what, you can do that with finance sales as long as there's communication. The communication between us and them, where they're liaisons, they're reps, for each region, the training's pretty poor, as far as understanding how they work. It can be done better. As anything could, it will be communication. If the 5 CEOs, plus Magellan, all communicate and all the same thing with everything they wanted, that'd be great. So we're going to one entity, or at least one set of rules. That would be awesome. And we're trying to administrate and lead, trying to decipher everything that's going on with each one of these guys.
Gotcha. So it's potentially done with better communication both between the MCOs and with the MCO and provider, or things like uniform sets of rules. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. It works like this. It's really done with MCOs firsthand, and we talk about roster, we talk about audio, our definition of CPSD and ESO, what's medical necessity. If it works like this, then it's done with them, what they expect from us, and I'm sure it might be a great success. That's why I'm having involved in this one.
Gotcha. So that would be an interesting follow-up meeting to talk about different care, and if carve out was really important, because you might still, for your primary care services, be billing to the MCOs, and then adding another MCO to behavioral health. So I think definitely talking about our definition of business integration would be really important, but that would be an interesting meeting. So many people may have called in and used roll call, and I'm not looking at the attendee list, but Adrian, Tim, Lisa, I don't know if you've called in and roll call.
Yeah, I know we had a couple, it sounded like completely clear now. I don't know if there were any people looking at the roster. I did a lot of phone numbers and just some names, but it's kind of clear. I think you just go to and just call out those names.
Hello, this is Ross Ellis from Family Care.
I'm sorry, I had to crash out, but I didn't hear your roll call. Would you mind introducing yourself and who you're with? I'm kind of giving you an overview of integration and your vision for the work with areas that you address without going in kind of in the weeds. Matthew did a good job of an example of keeping it kind of brief and high level, so I just want to refer you up.
Thank you. This is Ross Ellis. I'm from Family Care in New Orleans. I've been a health provider for Medicaid for 25 years, and it's been a lot. I think that it's kind of interesting. I've listened to all the discussion, and I think, we focus a lot on integration in a sense of versus carve-out. And I think my question is, can we have both? Obviously, we had someone mentioned that it was not mentioned, we really need to look at the history when we're talking about these issues because we have had carve-out. And I think we need to look at, how that worked or didn't work for our recipients as well as primary care physicians and mental health providers. I know that the behavioral health providers obviously are interested in carve-out because there has been so much disparity between the kind of care even that our recipients are getting across the different NCOs. And that's a real problem that needs to be addressed. I feel like, we attempted to address this with through the Office of Behavioral Health. So we don't have uniform assessments, especially for children. We don't have uniform treatment plans. We don't have a process of what even qualifies you for a various level of care. It is integrated in a sense across all the NCOs. And so this is, to me, what the impetus behind all of this. And certainly, it's a huge administrative burden on the providers. That there's so much really difference in the process. And so I think that's really something to look at. In my personal experience with agencies, let's say like ours, who want to integrate primary care and behavioral health care, we probably get 50% of all referrals from primary care physicians and pediatricians. And we do talk with them, and we do refer back to them, and we do let them know what medications that we may have been prescribed by our provider. So we do try to work with them, and we would work with them whether or not we were dealing with a carve-out or not a carve-out. So I don't really think it's necessarily an issue of integration versus carve-out. I think there's other issues in terms of what are the benefits or the cons about carve-out that maybe aren't just about integration. And thank you. I'm done. Hello?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to pass you, so I muted myself. I think that was a pretty insightful. I think you're probably right. I do want to have awareness of the explicit kind of directive of the resolution, but I think you're right. It's either part out or not part out. But thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. We have three other members that I don't think are on the call. We can get Adrian, at least Adrian Turner, I think. Kimberly Richard, I'm here. Hi, Kimberly. I'm sorry, I'm Kimberly, but if you want to talk to us, give us your name, who you're with, your overview of integration, and your vision of the work we're going to address.
My name is Kimberly Richard, and I'm with Health and Human Services. I'm with the office of around 10 years. One of the major areas of concern is kind of what Rob just spoke of, just kind of standardization across the board, having direction and treatment planning assessments and such, and about medical care, and for the requirements for diagnosis and treatment, that would be very helpful. Another area of standardization I think would be useful is perhaps having one EHR system that we could rely on. The Magellan system was pretty good. There's also another system that was state prior to changing over to the MCO system that was done, I think, by Lynn at SRA, and that was working. I thought that was a pretty good program for putting in information about clients and work and hours and things like that, and to improve your reliable report. One of the other things that I'd like to see in terms of integration would be a little more input from clients. I'd like clients to sort of take a more active role in their care. I just think right now we're all kind of
going on, and I think I'd really love to see that happen. We are a HR agency, obviously, and we see children from 5 on and adults as well, and we have just started getting into the substance abuse area, and I'm also part of the provider association group with Robin John. That's kind of all I have right now.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. That was an interesting comment that we might get into in subsequent meetings. Let me see if Lisa Ronnie, I'm not sure she's on the call. Great. So Medicaid and OBI staff, I haven't given you a chance. That was first of all. Let me see. Let me kind of open it up one last time. Did anyone kind of fail to mention, after listening to everyone, kind of an additional vision or area to be addressed?
Karen, I can make this John, I can make this comment to kind of add some perspective to all of this. I think as far as the association is concerned, and you have us know, this has been a discussion that's been going on intentionally now for many years. I don't know that we're necessarily promoting card out at this point. I think what you have done to organize this meeting today is very wise to focus the attention on how can we create a true integration primary and behavioral healthcare in the state of Louisiana. The option we have on the table right now is operating through the 5SNV or MCOs and all the issues that have been commented on by people on the call today. I won't comment on any further other than to say that all that said, what really drove us to get the card out this summer through the legislature, and then ultimately through the discussion about that to create this resolution, was to see what is really the best way to accomplish integration of healthcare and primary healthcare in the state. That said, the urgency to write this legislation this summer and bring this to the table and to create such a short time frame to resolve this is the financial issues facing at least the outpatient providers across the state. So I think for us, a big issue here is how can we get to a good understanding of a good system of integrated healthcare in the state of Louisiana that at the same time addresses the issues of potential financial solvency that's being faced by providers in the state. It's that issue of financial solvency that I think is creating a great deal of urgency here. So I just wanted to add that to the discussion and make sure that we don't lose sight of that as we move forward.
I really appreciate that, John. I think that was a really good comment to make and really good full background kind of higher level conversation about not necessarily being a card-out request, but to go back to what Uncle said, you're looking at what worked in business, can we replicate that or recreate it or correct it through the current system that we have at hand, and therefore addressing financial policy of providers. So, very insightful. So, with that, I'm wondering if we can kind of, let me review at the beginning, what our plan is to do internally is to go back and kind of look at our plan and be the best way to kind of organize out the next several meetings. Maybe they're by topics, maybe it's, presentation or discussion on research, maybe it's really taking a couple things that are in the weeds and dissecting it and seeing what the root cause is. I'm not quite sure I can go back and have a conversation a little bit about the timeline before we get into talking about meeting structure frequency. We probably have to have the report drafted by around January 1. For those of you who have never had the pleasure of doing a legislative report, it's probably a couple of months of crafting and formatting and getting together in the department. We've got standardized forms and different people have to review before it comes out. I want the group to review the draft and have an opportunity to comment. It's a very large group that we get drafted, we circulate it, we go back and address issues and comments, we make statements at the end of the meeting. We then put it in the appropriate stylistic format, of which we got about 50 pages of requirements with the department, and it circulates to be published and across the street to the capital on time. We really have that draft ready for the January 1. So that, in essence, just gives us a few months of meeting and being respectful of a couple of major holidays that fall within that. So I'm wondering if anyone has some initial thoughts instead of us just kind of going back and determining kind of frequency and structure meetings, anyone might give us two cents about that. I'm also looking for input on whether this Zoom style works versus in-person. I was trying to debate. We've got representatives in New Orleans, Lafayette, Sonoma area, Shreveport, Hollywood, North Shore, and of course our statewide representatives. I may have missed out on my representative from the Alexandria area or Monroe area, but I started notating only halfway through. So there's a visa travel in there, of course, there's no per diem reimbursement for the travel. So with that, let me open up to the group. Frequency and structure of meetings, location, any opinions?
I feel like the Zoom meeting worked well.
Great, I appreciate that. Anyone else?
I do too, and I know at some point in time we're going to get into the materials. I am familiar with the Zoom platform and the things I like about it. Being able to have a large number of people on the call at the same time, have everyone see the documents that are important.
You're right, that is a bit of Zoom. You can share screens, you can watch the materials, you're exactly right. Right, so it feels like I'm just going to go into a situation that we'll conduct our meetings through Zoom and not actually have in-person conference room. So is that decision pretty unanimous?
Yes.
Excellent. And so as far as frequencies and topics, is everyone okay with LBA kind of going back to these comments and proposing a structure for meeting frequency and topics or format? Does anyone have any very strong opinions or would you like to see what we propose first?
Karen, I don't know whether you can ask for some written feedback, like from the group on by certain date, and that might add to your, if somebody could say something they may like to say, or might have suggestions about that format, give us a week or whatever to get that feedback to you, and maybe use that in your formulation.
Gotcha. So I'll get with Jackson and have him reply to the room and ask for specific areas that you would like to address, without the benefit of context of the conversation, I think everyone understood exactly what I was hoping. Stay out of the weeds, unless it was a very clear example. My concern is we get back a lot of in the weeds, which are really provider complaint kind of things, not, or specific to their provider network, but we will do that, and then just weed through what really are provider specific complaints versus more specific area to address, which again is through the fabulous job doing. So Jackson, you and I can kind of work on crafting that request. I think most people attended, maybe only two people didn't.
Karen, I offer a suggestion, and I think it's great that Jeff, you're on the line with us today. I personally am a big research person, so I'm just thinking in my head, maybe the next couple meetings, maybe there's one soon, like Karen, as you say, to get into some of the specifics, and then Jeff, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm not quite sure of your relationship with OEH before in this project as you move forward, but then having heard all that, if there are some things that you're seeing during this discussion, maybe the next, that maybe the research points us to, that we want to focus on at this point, maybe that's the way, Karen, I'm thinking, to really jumpstart this thing in hyperspace.
John, every now and then you make me really smile because we are on the same wavelength. I start, I think it was what you had talked about, the carbon carbon landscape, different variations, the ratio, Jeff had mentioned the number, so I was kind of maybe thinking, having our next call, a presentation on what part in carbon is really kind of different variations of the model, the national landscape, maybe some emerging trends, and if I don't know that's what you could do, but I think that might really help set the tone and some awareness, and maybe you have a definite issue then, solutions that you keep heard other people. There's kind of comfort in knowing we're not alone, and not to reinvent the wheel or other places. Is that kind of what you're saying, John, or is that
the word you're
now?
That's well said.
I'd be happy to do that. I think the benefit certainly is going to be to look at the landscape and find terms so we all are speaking the same language. I think one thing to just keep in mind, so not everybody is that all states are dealing with this, whether managed care or not, standardization, data sharing, burden on provider, level of regulation, all big issues, which there are some solutions out there, not a lot, and part of that has to do with the context in the states, have to come up with their own solutions with their provider network, which is speaks to what we're doing now, which is really, really beneficial to everybody, is being on the same page and get to looking at what are specific actionable things we can actually do in a relatively short period of time, lesson burden.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, we can have a subsequent call and kind of organize the thoughts. I think that's a really great place to start. That's the thing we've got our first meeting kind of set. Buddy, I know we've got more time on the call, but I don't want everyone to sit on here longer than it really needed. It was meant to be an organizational call. Are there, is anyone else have kind of an organization or organizational structural kind of logistics question or comment about the group or our
purpose? Just a quick comment. We are going into hurricane season, but we're really already there. And we're kind of limited on time. I was just kind of an organizational suggestion. We may want to account for the possibility that some of our meetings may get canceled. So we may want to sort of overschedule ourselves just a little bit with these meetings so that we don't run behind, first time that, what it was through.
Something like a man with a lot of experience in this area, this is where you're calling from. That's a good suggestion.
let us follow Jeff after the call, see how quickly he can kind of get something together for the next meeting. This is going to be by Zoom. That allows a lot more leniency in scheduling. And so we'll also, in the meantime, have Jackson go ahead and put some meetings on our calendars with everyone's awareness that we will put more than we may need, and that some of them are likely to be canceled either because of, you know, low attendance, RSVP, or hurricane, and everything like that. So,
but Karen, just to step in over on that, in terms of meeting times and dates, I think it's a good